Anthony Cirillo is joining us. Anthony is the host of the Caregiver Smile Cruise. He's a health and aging expert and executive board member of the Dementia Action Alliance and president of the Aging Experience. Yeah! Anthony, welcome to the Ed Till Show on Starcom Radio Network.
Thanks for having me, Ed. Nice to be here.
You bet. Listen, I'm getting up there, and people are dying left and right in my life. This is a very, very scary era. I'm telling you, it blows my mind. You know, it really is starting to freak me out a little bit. When caregivers, now I did caregiving for both parents who then passed away 5 years ago. You know, I got a taste of this, but I had professional assistance for it. This is just a terrifying environment to go into, being a caregiver and then facing advanced care directives, mortality. So let's just start with how do you gird yourself emotionally and, you know, not get carried away with what's going on to do what you have to do.
Sure. And I was a caregiver to my mom until about a year ago when she passed at 94, so she had a great long life. You know, it's tough to be able to be a caregiver and have a business as well. So, you know, what I tell people, and you know this is easier to say, especially when you're a healthcare professional, but that people truly need to prepare for their aging issues sooner in life and realize that, you know, I talk about three areas. How they take care of their physical health is going to, you know, when they're young, is going to impact how they age. I go into a lot of nursing homes, and ironically, I started my mission for elders began when I started going into nursing homes and singing for the residents. So I'm also a professional musician, and I found a lot of elders who were there who, you know, age didn't catch up with them, but they didn't keep up with themselves, and so, you know, kind of exacerbated things. And that we need to prepare financially sooner in life. That people have really no idea how this is all paid for. And then there's so many lessons we could learn about our elders, about how to age. And the thing is, caregiving and aging, it all happens in a crisis situation, and people then react. But, you know, if you have some solid plans, and they include, you know, legal plans, financial plans, you know, your advanced wills, your advanced directives and medical powers of attorney, all these types of things, at least when it hits, you're going to have a few things in place that'll buoy you a bit. I believe that it's all about advanced planning and talking about these issues earlier and sooner, because once you're in it, you know, you just you're basically just executing.
You know, that it's true. A buoy is a great word to use for that, because you kind of do feel often that you're moving on inertia. And you know what I mean? Just being there is like the big victory, because it's been so many days the same, or it's actually worsening. And I know both sides of that. I know when you're at the plateau and it's just day in and day out, and you really can't get down about the lack of progress or improvement, then you turn one of these corners and you see, well, we're going to another stage of this, like when they go into hospice. So yep. What's the best way for a caregiver to care for themselves during one of these couple of year long period? My cousin just got out of an 8 year period of helping his mom, who eventually passed, 8 years, and he was living in the house with her, but moved in, did the whole thing. I know this is difficult. I know we're going to recommend some good things. You're going to have some good recommendations, but it's tough. What do you recommend that people really do for themselves when they're into this caregiving lifestyle day in and day out?
Well, first of all, they should be alarmed, because there are statistics that show that 60% of family caregivers predeceased the one they're taking care of. And my sister was an example of that. She died at 66 in 2014, and you know, she'd got lung cancer, and you know, was really just unable to fulfill her caregiving and take care of herself. So you know, it really is about taking care of yourself and making time for yourself. And hey, you know, I was born in an Italian Catholic, and you know, we thrive on guilt. So it's hard to take time for yourself, but you really have to. And so, you know, you really have to exercise. You need to watch your you know, what you're eating, just as anybody would, and you would recommend in your daily life. But you particularly have to watch it when you're in the middle of this, because you can let that slip so easily. You have to have social connections and a support network, and unfortunately you will also find out, you know, who your true friends are and who are not your friends when you get into a caregiving situation. You find these kind of stigmas in the workplace environment as well, but nonetheless you can develop a whole new set of friends who are also family caregivers and can be a support network. And that's the other thing, you need to reach out for help. And there's all kinds of tools out there these days that allow you to do that. I used one with my mom, and not to plug anything, but it was called Lots of Helping Hands. And essentially, I was able to form a community of people, because I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she was in Satellite Beach, Florida, which I know is one of your stations.
Absolutely.
And she was with my sister, and when my sister passed, well, there's, you know, it was 6 weeks before we became the caregivers, and I had to get her to doctor's appointments and her hair. You know, you had to get the haircut every Wednesday, and so we supported this online, you know, community, and people just rallied around it. So you have, you know, you basically, there's simple things, but you have to carve out time to do it.
You know, the number is staggering, that there are 66 million family caregivers in the United States. That's just a staggering number. 75% are women, 25% are millennials. Talk about stress. I mean, this is a generation already very stressed out about a lot of things. To come into this, which I guess we could talk about for a second, we want to let these people know they're being felt and heard. It's not always 55-year-old children of elderly doing this. You can easily be in your 20s and find yourself to be the caregiver. If this is your sole adult, or if this is just the configuration of your family, what do you have to say for the young caregivers? They're struggling to get through their 20s. All of a sudden, they're full-time taking care of somebody.
Yeah, and that was really the AARP and the National Alliance for Caregiving, I think, came up with the latest survey that showed 25% of them were millennials. And these are kids who are, you know, out of school, they're looking for jobs, they may be just in a new profession, and they're thrust into this situation. And one of the things that also surprised me is that their health from research statistically show that they actually suffer worse in health than older caregivers in terms of the chronic conditions that they suffer from. And so if anybody has to watch their health, it's this population. But again, I don't think the advice is much different, other than I do believe, I mean, there's ageism in the workplace, and that happens with family caregivers, you know, the boomers and such, and especially women. And we know there's actually dollar figures that have been shown that women lose in a career of caregiving, when they so-called come out at work about their caregiving adventure. But, you know, millennials probably face it even more so, because they're just starting out a career and trying to balance some of that. So, you know, there is a bigger issue here about how we discuss these issues with employers and employer cultures around caregiving and aging, because you know, these folks, they want to retain good employees, but they really need to change their culture about how they look at these and look at flex time and look at balancing these things and having a culture and processes around it. There's actually a group that's it's called REACT, REACT. It stands for Respect the Caregiver's Time, and it's a group of companies like Pfizer and CBS and the Cleveland Clinic and others, who basically said, we are going to change our cultures around this. And so partly, as folks like that are job hunting, you really want to understand culturally where an employer might fit. But this is also a generation that does a lot of work virtually. So I think in some respects they can balance it a little bit more. But certainly they must be getting a lot more stressed over it, because the statistics show that they suffer more chronic conditions than some of their elder counterparts.
There you go. It doesn't surprise me at all. If you're just joining us, the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network, Anthony Cirillo is our guest. In addition to everything we've been talking about, you should be checking out www.theagingexperience.com. I mentioned before that our guest will host the Caregiver Smile Cruise. We're going to talk about that. He is a health and aging expert, executive board member of the Dementia Action Alliance, and president of the Aging Experience. So go to that website. Listen, the Dementia Action Alliance, another tough assignment, it sounds like. I mean, this isn't one of these tough conditions, but I do have a question, kind of a layperson's question. You're closer to these numbers. It just seemed like, it's not that we were unfamiliar with dementia when we were kids in the 60s, okay? But the epidemic of dementia, I don't know if we're identifying it and classifying it with a larger spectrum than before. Maybe the definition has changed. But it seems like there's a lot more dementia than there was recently. And what does the Dementia Action Alliance do? Because Lord knows, that's a dark issue with not a lot of hope. I mean, I've got my fingers crossed. Are you guys on any breakthroughs? You got any good news on dementia?
Well, I'll tell you what we're about. And first of all, you're right. And I think in the earlier days is that we just called it something else. And a lot of times we just called it old age, and nobody knew what dementia was, let alone, and we also mislabel Alzheimer's as one form of dementia. There are others, but I am not a clinician, but there's far more experts around who can tell you the nuances of each of the different types of dementia. But I think as science has progressed and testing has progressed, we've learned to identify these what we used to call old age or aging and other labels that we would put on it. And so the other thing is that and this is kind of the Dementia Action Alliance. We work complementary with other organizations, but truly, when you look at the Alzheimer's Association and others, a lot of them are about, and it's, we need it, you need funding to research a cure, but in the meantime, there are no cures, and so our alliance is about promoting and empowering those with dementia and helping the public understand that you can still live a quality life as you age, even when you're living with dementia. And, we just had our first annual conference, and it was in Atlanta. I spoke there. I just got home Tuesday night. And 60% of the people who were presenters at the conference have some form of dementia. And it really goes to some of the stigmas that are associated with them. I have really, really good friends in the Alliance who are in their 50s. One gentleman, I think, was 55 when he was diagnosed. Some of them are younger. And talking about steeling yourself for something, and they've turned their, this diagnosis into an advocacy. And, we really talk about how do you live a quality life as you age. And they have friends who will actually argue with them to say, you don't have dementia. You don't have any symptoms. I don't see anything. And they say, as I'm speaking on stage here, I look all professional and great, he said. But, and this one gentleman, Brian, recounted how when he got off stage the day before and he went back to his room, he was just an absolute, kind of mess from all kinds of reasons, physical and emotional. And it was like, you don't come visit me at my home and don't tell me you're coming and you'll see the real thing. But, our alliance is about, we don't have yet, I don't think, a broad enough spectrum to be affecting policy yet, but I think that's certainly where we would like to see ourselves doing, and really about including people with dementia in the conversation, not just their care partners and caregivers, but actually realize that these folks still have a lot to contribute and can inform policy. So when they're looking at the national Alzheimer's plans and things like that, a lot of times people with dementia are not included. I mean, it's a fine line you walk, because eventually these folks, because there is no cure, are going to advance to another stage, another level, and they are going to need the caregivers, and they are going to need the healthcare system. But it's about kind of this respect and dignity we want for all older people, but also for our folks with dementia. Those are the types of things we advocate for. Tipa Snow is one of our rock stars. If anybody wants to Google her, you'll find out all about the great work she's doing to help caregivers and those living with dementia. So it's I'm very proud to be part of it, and it was a very emotional conference, unlike any I've ever attended, because it was it was just a lot of it wasn't just healthcare providers and administrators, it was the patients that they care for as well.
Absolutely. All right, so let's spend some time on the cruise. Is this the first one? What's going to be a great tradition has been going on for a while. What happens on the cruise?
Yep, it's my first one. They have had specialty cruises like this that others have launched, and sometimes they the ones I've tended to see are more back to our discussion on Dementia Action Alliance, dementia related. So it's more a deep dive there. So I am taking a different stance, and part of it is I'm a marketing professional as well. My healthcare career has basically been more of a 30,000-50,000 foot connect the dots type of guy. So essentially, I've designed this cruise so that pretty much anybody, somebody who's just starting to see the signs that mom and dad might need help, or you're deep in the caregiving journey, or your caregiving journey is over, you will have something to learn during the cruise, because I've staffed it with people from all kinds of occupations. So I have a financial expert on board who really has no dog in the hunt in terms of what he wants. I don't have people selling stuff, but I have him coming in and looking objectively at all the different ways, we need to protect ourselves and use our money, because, how long-term care is financed is a very scary thing. I have attorneys, elder care attorneys. I have a geriatric care manager, and that's kind of a new crop of profession that's, growing, where, again, when you're talking about reaching out for help, especially if you're a long-distance caregiver, a geriatric care manager might be able to coordinate a whole bunch of different things for you in terms of care for mom and dad. I do have one gentleman, Robert Bowles, who I met in person at the dementia conference this week. We've only seen each other on Skype, and he has early onset dementia, and he's going to talk about kind of how he's lived with this disease after his diagnosis, I also have people from long-term care agencies who will tell you, when it gets the time to shop for care, what do you look for, and how do you pay for it? So it's a well-rounded, from the least acuity level, you might just be seeing the signs, to even getting into some talks about, death and dying, which, as a society, we really need to understand. You did mention hospice, and
right.
I had both a father-in-law and a mother who I witnessed pass in hospice, my mom being the latest one. And, it's a spiritual journey. She was in hospital for 10 days. She was in the hospice 55 hours, and it was just moving. So, we're going to cover all that kind of thing, but it's going to be and here's why I think a cruise is important. First of all, caregivers need respite. Also, I'm thinking the family should have kind of reunions and get together and talk about these issues in a non-threatening, beautiful atmosphere, because families don't talk about the issues, and when they're not on the same page, that's when trouble happens. If they're not really thinking about care for mom and dad in the same direction, you are going to have trouble down the line. So it's a great way to have everybody on the same page, and you can bring mom or dad and talk about it, and we'll talk about it frankly in the sessions, but we also want you to have fun. That's why we're going to 10 days out in the Caribbean, leaving from Fort Lauderdale. It's January 13th to the 23rd.
Oh my God.
We've got a lot of great ports.
That's like the magic week in ordinary people, hardworking people's lives. You got the holidays are behind you. You've seen everyone. You've done everything. And all that's left around the middle of January is writing bills, writing checks for spending over the holidays. What a great thing to look forward to. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I wish I had been in contact with you guys when my mom and dad were going through this, and we did it like you did, as a family, and there right until the very end in the room with these folks when they say goodbye. So I'm so grateful for your time, the work that you do, and the AgingExperience.com is the website where you can go and reach out to Anthony, ask questions, find out more, and maybe you too can participate in the Caregiver Smile Cruise in January 2018. Anthony, you do a great job with a very difficult subject matter. God bless you, man.
Thank you, Ed. It was a pleasure to be on your program.
It's an honor to have you on. Anthony Cirillo on the Dementia Action Alliance. I'm telling you, that's heavy lifting to volunteer for that. There's not a lot of big breakthroughs, celebrations of victories, just a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, and certainly a lot of people who need you. But he signed up for a tough thing there, and I really appreciate that so much. And this is what we could really make contagious, the willingness to sign up for tough but meaningful work in our community and all across the nation. All right, he's also an executive board member, well, as I mentioned, of Dementia Action Alliance, not just a great ambassador for it, but the president of the Aging Experience. And as you heard, his mom passed not too long ago at the age of 94. Anthony Cirillo on the Ed Till Show, StarCom Radio Network.